This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
TikTok, 7 o'clock hour of sports talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long with you. We're going to be welcoming in after our first break Super Bowl champion Scott Shanley helping us break down the upcoming NFL draft with the black and gold, and also all the Derek Carr talk and hate that's been going on. Boy, oh, belly, the guy has not done anything to help himself out with perception that he wants to be a New Orleans Saint, because all signs are that he's trying to push himself out the door one way or the other, and it's just not a good feeling right now. It's just odd timing for him and this information to be coming out right before the NFL draft gets underway. We've talked about the fact that, yes, we do believe the Saints are going to be interested in selecting a quarterback at some point in the draft. Is it necessarily the 9th overall selection? I guess we'll wait and see, but it doesn't have to be either. We've talked about how much other talent there is on the board that will be available to the Saints. Charlie breaking it down just there with the last segment, with the fact that, you know, the way things shake out on this board, there's going to be some prime either offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or who knows, maybe a wide receiver or tight end for you to take.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to our discussion in the 6 o'clock hour, Steve, like I kind of mentioned, and we'll see where Shadur ends up going. If Shadur goes to the Giants at 3, I think that would be, you know, prime position for the Saints. At the same time, even if he doesn't, and Abdul Carter's the guy for the Giants at 3, and they go best player available on their board, and how things could potentially shake out from 4 to 8, you should still be able to get one of those premium players that I was talking about with Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham, LSU left tackle Will Campbell, right tackle from Missouri Armand Membu, you know, Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, even potentially Jalen Walker, the linebacker from Georgia. Although Mike, everything that he's been telling me about Jalen Walker is that this dude is shooting up draft boards. And I mean, he could go as high as pick 5, you know, maybe pick 6 with the Raiders, depending on if Ashton Jeanty goes to the Jaguars at pick 5. It's going to be really, really fascinating to see how everything kind of shapes out. The top 5, as we mentioned last hour, is very unpredictable. But my entire point in all the rambling was that there's a bona fide top 10 in this draft. And with the Saints at pick 9, you know, you remember the end of last season, right? Where the Bears beat the Packers in week 18, the final week of the season. And then the Saints jumped them from pick 10 to pick 9. That ended up being a big deal, Steve, because with how things could shape up in those first 8 picks, the Saints could have a stud waiting for them at pick 9. They're in a good spot.
We're talking about this NFL draft coming up next week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can catch all the excitement right here on the home of the Saints, WWL. It starts next Thursday, 4 o'clock. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and the Saints Draft Preview Show. Appointment listening for any Who Dat, featuring the Saints top brass, head coach Kellen Moore, GM Mickey Loomis, offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier, defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, and so much more of the black and gold staff. The Saints Draft Preview Show, that's next Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m., followed by the Saints Draft Show, will be live from 504 Golf and Entertainment. Come for the golf, stay for the party. Three levels of pure fun in the 504 at 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Going to be an exciting show with me, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottiglia, and also featuring Deuce, Haas, and Jeff Nowak here at all on Saints Radio next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app. We're also getting into LSU baseball. The Tigers starting a three-game series tomorrow. Another Thursday, Friday, Saturday set against Alabama right in time for Easter weekend. Jay Johnson spoke to the media talking about their win over McNeese and the pitching staff and getting ready for Alabama. Here's a little bit of what Coach Jay Johnson had to say as the Tigers get ready for the Tide.
What was the inspiration for changing the top of the lineup?
It was more about yesterday's game, you know, looking at McNeese, and I really have a lot of respect for Coach Hill, you know, LSU guy. He's a great dude, you know, like, I mean, I've gotten to know him as an opposing coach. They'd come out to play us at Arizona. And then just as a former LSU player, you know, it's been a cool part of being the coach here, is getting to know guys that the program means a lot to. And he does a really good job. And if you went back to their Wednesday game last week at Houston, they pitched 10 guys in a 10-inning game. And, you know, you could kind of see what they were doing with the order and popping guys in. It was more about, like, making it a little tougher for them to match up, and then maybe setting our lineup in a way, if I needed to pinch hit, it would draw them into doing it in a way that would work for us and not compromise, you know, the game or lose somebody after one at bat, you know, that kind of thing. And so we'll just kind of take it game by game, which is more my nature. And we've fallen into a little bit more of a rhythm, but when you're 31-3, you know, on a dominant, you know, offensive performance for, it's a long time. That's a lot of games to be playing at a high level. And I do know this, that great teams play near their capability often. And, you know, until this past weekend, that's what this team did. So there hasn't been a need to really overhaul kind of the grouping or the order. But I think, you know, for last night, it was good. And, you know, glad that they performed well. But, you know, we need to have good practice today. And I think it's more about how the players executed in the game, as I said, about how I wrote the lineup out.
Is there anything about that, I guess, ordering of the guys in particular that opens up different things for you offensively? Is there the way those guys can complement each other one after another?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And again, that can be on a game-by-game basis or a general thought basis about how it would work in the game. And I think what's great about it is this team, with good offensive players with different skill sets, there's more than one way to do it. And we found kind of a general template that was really good and has executed at a high level and worked at a high level. And then, you know, maybe needing a little adjusting coming off the weekend. But again, I think it's more about just them getting back to executing their plans. And if they execute their plans, I think if one guy hits second one day and hits sixth the next, or hits fifth one day and hits eighth, or hits first one day and hits second, or hits fourth and then hits leadoff, it matters, but I don't think it matters maybe as much, you know? So I'm looking at it to do its best to set the team up to win, as I always say, but I don't think it's as big a deal as maybe as it seems.
Do you put any stock into, like, peaking at the right time, especially in a long season like baseball? Like last year, you guys peaked towards the end, you know, peaking at the right time.
Well, I think there's factors involved in that that I think the way I explain it to the team is, like, man, we're trying to win every single game. Like, I'm not trying things out just so maybe this will work. Like, we're playing and planning and preparing and trying to execute in a way that we win every single game that we play. And the players know that. You know, the season at LSU is dubbed a 56-game playoff. Like, that's how we, that is the regular season. We are in a 56 game playoff. So what we want to do is win those playoff games as we go along and improve as we're doing it to where you find your best team so then you can be playing well at the end. The difference is we're playing a super regional every single weekend. We're playing a super regional caliber team every single weekend. You know, I mentioned this last night, as I'm the RAC Regional Advisory Committee representative this year for the SEC. And, you know, they're going around the five conferences in the Southeast. And I mean, I'm sitting there talking about 15 teams at this point in time still, you know, so that's nobody has to do that. So you have to kind of keep your eye on the ball of not all the games, but this game or these games. And so I do know that if you survive the gauntlet of that, you can play with a lot of confidence, you know, when you get to postseason play. And, you know, so I think our best baseball is ahead of us. I think, like I said, my goal is to turn any adversity or failure into something that's going to be a positive, and that's what I want to do with the weekend last weekend, which helps us get to peaking at the right time.
They have iPads in the dugouts now for all the SEC teams. How has that helped you guys?
It's fine. I think it's a balance. Like, information is good, but you have to filter it in a way that helps the player execute their plan. Whether that's your pitcher or your hitter against the other team's pitcher. You know, I feel like we're ahead of the game with some of that stuff analytically. So I haven't felt like it's groundbreaking. I think as my coaches will tell you, you know, how we message things in a way that's productive for the player is important. And in competition, you have to hit that on the money.
Head coach Jay Johnson of your LSU baseball team, the Tigers, getting ready for the Tide this weekend. Another big matchup. And Coach Jay Johnson also said that he basically looks at these weekends now as every weekend is a super regional series for the Tigers.
And it sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not super far off.
No, you look at the conference, right?
I mean, Steve, he was talking about 15 teams, right? Right now, D1 has 13 projected teams. That's what there I did go, for my right. triple option exactly. segment. And if you're looking at LSU's final five weekend matchups, they host Bama this upcoming weekend, and Bama's a projected 2 seed. They also host Tennessee. Tennessee's the projected number 4 national seed, meaning that they would have a road home to Omaha. They also host Arkansas later on in the slate, who's the number 2 seed right now in the country. Also, they have a matchup against Texas A&M on the road. Texas A&M's a projected 3 seed as of now. And then they wrap up the season at South Carolina. South Carolina is one of those 3 teams with Missouri and Florida that's gotten off to a really slow start in SEC play. So they're not currently projected to be a postseason team. But you're talking about out of the next 5 weekends that LSU baseball has, 4 of those teams are projected postseason teams. And a few of them, like I mentioned with Tennessee and Arkansas, are top 4 teams in the country and projected hosts for not just a regional, but for a super regional as well. So, I mean, it doesn't get easier, but what Jay was saying there, that halfway through the SEC slate, that they still feel like their best baseball is ahead of them, that's definitely good to hear.
Can we get the Tigers to somehow postpone next weekend versus Tennessee till after the draft?
That, you know what? That I didn't even think about that timing. That is terrible timing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's gross.
We're going to be, you know, knee deep in everything Saints and NFL. Meanwhile, you know, it's Tigers versus the Vols.
Dang it. Yeah, hopefully Tennessee craters a little bit so that they can come to the box for a super regional eventually.
Well, let's take a break. When we get back, we're going to get into some Saints talk. Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame host, joining us talking Derek Carr and the NFL draft right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Wonderful Wednesday. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and happy to welcome in Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame analyst. Scott, not much has been going on. How you been up to?
I'm doing good.
The NFL draft right around the corner, and obviously the big news around here is the latest buzz with Derek Carr, you know, a supposed shoulder injury with the draft just around the corner. The team's reporting for workouts. Meanwhile, he's posting YouTube videos reviewing high-end vehicles, and it just seems like, I don't know, the guy way out of touch with this team, with the fan base. It just doesn't seem to be on the right track.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that was part of my frustration is, you know, whether or not maybe he has a hurt shoulder, I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice for his side or the organization to even come out and clear some things up and sort of just let things go and let, you know, things kind of swirl out there, because until you debunk it, every story is true. But I agree with you. I think it's just kind of, it's bad taste. You know, I don't really think it's coincidence that you choose that day to release your new YouTube R review special while your teammates are reporting. And it's a little, I mean, it's passive aggressive type stuff. And, you know, you're already kind of not in the best light with the fan base. It's probably not the best thing to do in this business about winning games. That's how you get in good graces with fan bases. And that just hasn't happened enough the last couple of years.
Scott, I saw your tweet about it. I agree 1,000%. It comes off as petty and petulant. And I mean, when you kind of take a look at what the Saints have been posting with their players at these OTAs, like their workouts and their lifting weights and, you know, the building camaraderie with the team. And then you see him, you know, Derek Carr, who probably hasn't been in New Orleans for the past 3 months at this rate, posting a car review with his brother. And he's talking about, oh, a former 49er and a former Raider. This is the only time we get together. It's just it comes off terrible on Derek Carr. It's a poor reflection on him.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. I think that's what kind of made my blood boil a little bit. You know, I probably don't send out that tweet if I don't see the YouTube video of the car review thing pop up. And I just, you live long enough and you just don't think things are coincidental. You just, you know, you had all offseason to release the car reviews and it probably wouldn't have been a big deal. But when you do it, when your teammates are showing up, getting ready to grind. And I think the other frustration for me is, you know, it's been a rough couple of years. You fire Dennis Allen. You bring in a new head coach. There's new life. There's new energy in the fan base. And then this is dumped on everybody. And I think it's just a reminder of kind of all the BS the last couple of years. And I think it's just frustrating.
Yeah, that frustration too for me, Scott. I was right with you when I saw this video. For whatever reason, it just triggered me. And this is a guy I was critical of the fact he wasn't around during the Super Bowl being a representative of the city of New Orleans. He wasn't around for, you know, the Mardi Gras at all, which just seems like you're not in touch with, you know, the being part of this city. We heard Drew Brees tell Zion, you know, love New Orleans, it'll love you right back. And with this video coming out with this high-end vehicle that is reviewing, and it was a terrible video, too. It wasn't even entertaining. Just way off base, just so off base on this. And I just don't understand. And if you're trying to push your way out of this organization, I don't know how manufacturing a shoulder injury is going to help at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I hear people talking about, well, maybe the shoulder injury is quote-unquote trade bait. And I think to myself, I've never heard of creating an injury to create leverage to get traded. So that's an ironic twist of storytelling. I think it's one of two things. I think either he's really hurt, and he's not saying, and neither side is saying anything, because maybe some type of move is trying to be made through the draft or you know, before the draft. He's pushing his way out. He doesn't want to come back. He doesn't want to be a bridge to a young quarterback. Either way, it's not a good look. And the way I look at it, you have two more years left in your contract. You're probably going to play one more of those years. But I look at, you know, when Green Bay drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers didn't like it. But you know what he did? He went out and won two MVPs. Amen. And he made Green Bay he made Green Bay play him. And I think that's the way you do it. As a professional athlete, you're not owed anything in the professional business. You have to prove it every single day. Every single day is an interview. Update your resume. It's all about wins. And I think if he's not hurt and he's just trying to force his way out, it's hard to earn your way back into the hearts of Houdat Nation by posting those type of car videos on reporting day.
And it's interesting, Scott, because I've heard the trade bait comments as well, but at the same time, like we've mentioned multiple times on the show, who's trading for Derek Carr with that contract that he's on? I just don't know. Like, I know that Cleveland still has kind of question marks at their quarterback position. I know that Pittsburgh, who was potentially in the running for Aaron Rodgers, they still don't have really an answer at the quarterback position. But, I mean, is anyone going to take on that contract? Like, what is my biggest kind of question is, if he's trying to force his way out here, what's kind of his angle? Where does he see himself going? There's not many situations where a team's starting quarterback job isn't already won or already decided, or, you know, you can plug and play Derek Carr into whatever situation he goes to as a starter in the league. I just don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. And no matter where he would go, if the Saints would have released him, where he get traded, that organization is still going to draft a young guy to get ready. It's not like Derek is 24 years old. So he's at that point in his career. And the other thing I agree with you on is, I don't know who Derek's agent and his family's telling, but listen, you have 2 years, $80 million, $40 million a year. There isn't one other team in the league besides the current team that you're under contract with that's going to give you that type of contract. Russell Wilson had to bounce around and look for a deal. He didn't get anything close to that. Aaron Rodgers is still looking for a team. So I would shut my mouth, be glad I have a two-year, $80 million total deal, and try to go out there and play some good football. And if the Saints draft a guy at number nine, listen, that's how the business goes. Everybody has a timeline. The train ride ends for everybody. But like I alluded to earlier, everybody thought that train ride was going to end for Aaron Rodgers, and he went out and won two MVPs.
Curious your thoughts here, Scott. You know, the fact with the Derek Carr news out now, people feel like that number nine pick, oh, the Saints are a shoe-in to draft a quarterback. Now, I thought that the organization would definitely be looking at QB and draft them somewhere, definitely in this upcoming draft. But I still don't think at number nine is a lock just because of this Derek Carr situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, I thought Derek had, you know, a year or two left, I thought at number nine, you have some options. But I think right now you don't want to reach. I'm not saying at number nine you go ahead and draft a quarterback because you want a quarterback and he's got a third round grade. Just don't ever do that. But if somebody falls to you, I think it's time in this organization to use some draft capital high on a young quarterback. And if you miss out this year, do it again next year. I think you just have to do it. You go back to 2017, 18, 19 before Drew retired and just not drafting a quarterback, drafting Davenport when Lamar Jackson was there. I think all those things start to add up to where we are right now. And it's time. It's time to invest high draft picks and see if you can find that quarterback of the future. And you saw, I mean, there probably isn't a Jaden Daniels in this draft, but you saw what he did for life with the Washington Commanders. He lifted all boats in the locker room. Everybody believed they could win because of him. So if one of these quarterbacks ends up sliding down and you have an opportunity to trade up a couple spots and go get him, go do it. Because I think it's time for the franchise to invest in draft capital in a quarterback.
That's where I think it's more likely, Scott. I agree 1,000% with you. Where, you know, with pick nine, you could see the board falling a couple different ways. Steve and I have mentioned this already, that the top 10 this year is not set in stone by any stretch of the imagination, that you could see all these different teams that are ahead of the Saints drafting one prospect over another because they could fill different holes on their roster. With the Saints at pick nine, they're in a good spot to land. I don't think there's really that many quote-unquote blue-chip prospects in this year's class, but a really solid day-one contributor, which is exactly what you need with the ninth overall selection. And then if you still want to find your guy and your quarterback in the first round, trading back up into the first round, maybe later on in the 20s, maybe kind of late 20s, you could potentially do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. You never know how the draft board is going to fall. You never know. Somebody's going to surprisingly take somebody ahead of you, and then there's going to be a jockeying of other teams trying to jump ahead of you. Go all the way back to, you know, when the Saints had Patrick Mahomes ready to roll, and then Andy Reid jumped up in front of them, and we ended up taking Lattimore, which we needed a corner. But, you know, that kind of goes back to my point is, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, we need an offensive lineman. We need a defensive end. We need a corner. I agree. We do need those things. But those guys aren't going to change life the way a quarterback will. And I will go a step further. Just some playmakers in general in offense, guys who can make plays in space. There needs to be more speed in this offense. I just don't know if there's enough guys. Rashid Shaheed scares defensive coordinators. Alvin still has some wiggle in him, but going into year nine, I just think there needs to be more juice on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree. And one thing is, well, Scott, that I want to get your thoughts on. People will talk about the need for like a true X receiver. There's not too many big body receivers in this draft class. It's a lot of, you know, speedy guys that are around 6 feet tall. You know, you don't have too many of the Tet McMillans or the Jaden Higgins that are like 6'4" and plus. But what this draft is loaded with is talent at the running back position. And you brought up Alvin Kamara. He's not getting any younger. The big question mark with Kendra Miller that still hasn't been answered a couple of years into his career. It feels like the Saints at some point, and I'm not advocating for them necessarily to take Jeanty with the ninth overall selection, but at some point in day two with your extra third round pick that you got in the trade with Washington, or maybe early on in day three with an extra fourth round pick, the Saints definitely need to address that running back position.
Without a doubt. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. You know, when everything was stable and you thought Derek Carr was coming back and you at least had another year with him, I was pounding the table if Ashton Jeanty's there at number nine to take him. I thought him and Alvin together and kind of passing the torch, and I think he's going to be a special back. You saw what Saquon meant to the Eagles this year, and the running game is making a comeback in the NFL with all the two high safety stuff. So I don't know if that's going to happen because the Raiders went out and got Geno Smith. I think the Raiders are going to take Ashton Jeanty at number six. But I do think you have to address that position because in the great words of Bill Parcells and Sean Payton with Kendra Miller, I've seen enough. And I haven't seen that much, but I've seen enough. It's time to probably go out there and get somebody who can be active every single week. Because the one thing about Kendra that it's frustrating is when he's active and when he puts his foot in the ground, he goes somewhere. He has ability, but your best ability is availability in this league, and he just has not been available enough.
No, totally there with you, Scott. It's like, sadly, he hasn't been around enough. I'm curious if have you really delved into the linebacker position going into this draft, and if so, is there any of those guys that stand out to you that'd be a good fit for Brandon Staley's defense?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that really hasn't been talked about enough, and it's when you're switching defensive schemes, and I know the league is much more of a nickel defense where you're playing five DBs and you have two linebackers, and then it's a matter of how you're doing the upfront stuff. And there's not a whole lot of 4-3 or 3-4 base personnel defenses, but they're going to a 3-4, and in base defense, I think this defense really needs to address the outside linebacker position, because I think Pete is going to be fine. DeMario will be fine playing inside in a true 3-4, but you got to go out and get some pass rushers. Everything that makes a 3-4 defense go is those edge guys, and I don't see those guys on this roster right now. So I think they'll be very active in the draft in going and getting some edge guys, some true 3-4 big-bodied pass rushers.
Yeah, Diana Rossini of The Athletic had posted that obviously they're doing their research on the quarterbacks, but edge rushers a clear need for this team, and they could address it early. The one player that kind of pops up in the top 10, and we don't know if he's going to be there because he seems like he's shooting up draft boards, is Georgia's Jalen Walker. I wanted to get your evaluation of him.
Yeah, he is shooting up boards, and he should be, because he's a special player. And with the way this league is, as a linebacker, you better be able to cover, or you better be able to rush. Hopefully you can do both, but if you can rush the passer, you are going to fly up the draft boards. And he made himself a lot of money. He's a freak. He's just explosive, has bend, natural bend around those long offensive linemen's arms. So those guys are hard to find. And you know, the one thing about, you know, just like running backs, those guys are born with a natural instinct. You can't really teach that vision and that instinct. I think pass rushers are the same way. You can have a guy run around a hoop all day to try to learn how to pass rush and get low, but some guys are just natural at it. And, you know, when I was in Dallas and they drafted DeMarcus Ware, you saw him rush just a couple of times and you're like, that guy's a freak. So you have to get those guys. You got to get guys who can get after the quarterback, and you got to have guys who can cover in the back end.
Scott, always appreciate your time, man. Hope you're doing well. And what are you going to be doing draft night?
Oh, I'll be watching with extreme intensity. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, it's been a long time since the Saints picked this high, and there's some draft capital to play with, and I'm sure they'll be active in the trade market as well.
Definitely looking forward to it, too, Scott. Thank you so much for the time again, man.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Sanley, Super Bowl champ, Saints pregame and postgame analyst, joining us right here on WWL Saints Radio. Coming up next week, the draft kicking off. So looking forward to it, man. We've been talking then talking and talking about it. It's always that build up to it, and finally the night arrives.
It's been months of preview for us with this draft, and with the Saints sitting at pick 9, as we've said, they're looking pretty good with the 9th overall selection in this year's draft, because you're going to get a solid player at 9 in all likelihood, unless you reach. But I'm feeling pretty confident about this year's draft. It's just how the picks ahead of you will shape up, that top 8, and we'll see, like, because we know 1 and 2 are basically locked in, with Ward going to Tennessee, and then also Travis Hunter going to Cleveland. But then that 3, which the Giants are where the draft starts, that 3-8, and then we'll see who escapes and falls to the Saints at pick 9.
Like Scott said, too, plenty of ammunition for the black and gold. Hope they use it well. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back with more after this on WWL.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, always great stuff from former Saints linebacker Scott Shanley. You can hit the rewind button to hear that or check it out on our on-demand page on WWL.com. Checking out some of the basketball action this evening. Play-in tournament going on. Man, Miami housing the Bulls in Chicago at the half. It's 71-47 Heat. 9 o'clock this evening, we've got Sacramento hosting Dallas. Yesterday in the play-in game tournament, both home teams won. The Orlando Magic took down the Hawks 120-95, and then it was the Golden State Warriors handling the Memphis Grizzlies 121-116. These late night games, though, Charlie, I am not one that looks forward to a 9 o'clock tip off on a Wednesday evening.
I was up till 11:50 last night watching that Golden State Memphis game. That was good stuff, though. Like, Ja Morant gets injured. I think in the third quarter, it was in the second half, they make this raucous comeback from down 20 points and even take the lead at one point, and then Golden State's able to pull away late. Steph Curry hits some huge threes because that's just what the dude does. And now it sets up, and I know we're going to be talking to my guy Nick Friedel tomorrow, and I think 4:20. Can't wait for that to kind of discuss all this stuff with Joe Dumars, but also preview the first round. Sets up the most intriguing first round matchup, in my opinion. That old guard Golden State Warriors team with Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. I know Curry and Butler both put up like 35-plus points last night in that victory over Memphis versus the young guns and that Houston Rockets team that's kind of resurged and made the playoffs for the first time in the post-James Harden era. So it's going to be a really fun matchup. The 2-7 that's kind of an untraditional 2-7 type of matchup. You don't want to see a Golden State team that added Jimmy Butler as your 2-7 matchup. That's not a traditional 7 seed.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't want to play the Warriors in a team that once they got Luka Doncic, I was like, man, oh man, come playoff time, I do not want to see the Lakers.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually kind of funny. Poor Minnesota, they sneak into the playoffs. They don't have to play in the play-in tournament. But at the same time, you get to play Luka, who just torched you last year when he was in Dallas in the postseason.
Hopefully this time next year, Charlie, we're not even talking about play-in tournament. We're talking about the Pels in the playoffs. Joe Dumars now the new executive vice president of basketball operations over there, and it's going to be some tooling around and what he's going to do with this roster. There's been rumors of, you know, trade mandates coming down that Zion Williamson is going to be dealt. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think, first of all, you're going to have a sit-down with the player and basically – I think find out where his head out, what some of his goals are, and seeing if that can basically mesh with what Joe Dumars believes and wants for this team going forward.
So we talked with Jen Hale in the 5 o'clock hour today, Mike and I did, and she made a really interesting point. It's the first time we've heard it because Mike and I led off the show saying that this is one of the most important decisions that Joe Dumars is going to have to make early on in his tenure with the Pelicans. What do you do with Zion Williamson? Like, do you move on from him? Do you, you know, commit to a rebuild? Or, and if you read his statement, he talks about how talented this roster is. Reading a little bit in between the lines, it sounds like he's going to try and make it work with Zion. And that's exactly what Jim was kind of echoing as well. So looking forward to hearing him speak next week at his introductory press conference as well, Steve. But that seems to be the early kind of inclination, is that he's going to try and stick with Zion and try to get to him like David Griffin never could.
It's so hard with Zion to just say get rid of him because the talent is there. We've seen it. It's not even the potential of what he can do. It's health-wise, can you stay on the court?
Yep.
And two, just your off the court antics. He's got some, you know, personal issues in his love life, it seems, but being late for meetings or for team planes isn't going to fly either.
Drama and injuries and drama and injuries. That's been the story of Zion Williamson from his first 6 years at the Pelicans. And hopefully Joe can get to him. And that's what's going, we're going to have to see how it all kind of shapes up. But as I kind of mentioned, that's what we're expecting early on, is that Joe's going to try and make it work with Zion.
And Joe, we trust.
Yep.
Going to break right now. We'll be back and close out Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.